Welcome back to another deep dive. I know you're the kind of person who, really loves to learn and connect the dots.
Yeah, exactly. Someone who wants the real story, but wants to avoid all that information overload.
Right. And today we've got something really special. We are looking at a fascinating stack of logs from a really rich, detailed online role-playing campaign chronicle.
It is incredibly detailed.
It really is. Specifically, we're focusing on three sequential entries today. They're titled 07, The Pack Fractures and Shadows Grow, 08, The Shadow Strikes and Someone Falls, and 09, The Bearer of Ill Tides.
Those titles alone, I mean, they set such a mood.
Totally. So our mission for this deep dive is to unpack this really masterful fantasy narrative. It's about this looming war between a wolf pack and a fey army.
Right, an army led by a guy named Lord December.
Exactly. And we're going to explore how forgotten history, manufactured hatred, and honestly, the courage to face ugly truths, how all of that drives the story forward.
Because, to set the stage here, this isn't just a story about swords and magic. I mean, sure, that's the dressing. But it's really a profound look at the anatomy of conflict.
Yeah, and the power of misinformation, which is just so relevant.
Very. It shows how easily societies can be manipulated when they, refuse to look at their own history.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start with the immediate tension in the sources. We've got three main characters trying to stop this war.
Right. You have Redmayne, who's a knight.
Yeah, and Thomas, who is, and this is a wild detail, a fey trapped inside a wolf's body.
Which is such a great narrative device. And then there's Ersebet, an older wolf elder who's kind of an outcast.
Right. And the tragedy of their situation is just, it's so frustrating to read because the proof of a shared peaceful lineage between the wolves and the Fey Lord, December, is literally right there.
We painted it on the walls of an underground cave.
Exactly. It's an actual primary source document. But the current wolf elders, they just absolutely refuse to go down there and look at it.
They're choosing ignorance. It's actively willful.
Yeah, and there's this really gripping scene. Redmayne goes to this place called the Circle of the Fallen to argue with a stubborn white wolf elder.
And she makes a really solid point. She tells them that they're basically choosing to live like animals.
Right, she says they're robbing themselves of a future, but the elder just dismisses her entirely.
Yeah, he claims her scent is, quote, all of anger.
Which is such a cop-out. It reminds me so much of people trapped in like modern corporate or political echo
Oh,
chambers.
absolutely. The parallels are everywhere.
Right. Like they would rather rely on generations of hearsay and mutual hatred than literally just walk down the hall to look at a document that proves they're wrong.
What's fascinating here is how pride basically replaces truth over time.
It's just easier to stay mad.
Exactly. The elders aren't just ignoring the caves, they are actively suppressing the truth.
Because if they acknowledge it.
Yeah, acknowledging it would mean admitting that all their recent brutal actions, like hunting the Fae and taking captives, were built on a complete lie.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sunk cost is massive.
It is. But the story doesn't just leave it as an abstract political debate. The abstract threat of war suddenly becomes violently physical.
This part is so visceral. So Redmayne and Thomas are heading back toward the caves, and suddenly they smell blood.
And Thomas immediately knows it's not deer blood.
Right. They hear this sickening thud and they walk into this waterway chamber. And what they find is a literal shadow creature.
A rolling shadow with this creepy red-toothed grin.
It's terrifying. But the really messed up part is who it's attacking. It's going after the Omega Wolves.
The lowest, most vulnerable members of the pack.
Yeah, the ones forced to wear those heavy collars. And the shadow is slaughtering them, aiming to frame the Fae for the whole thing.
There's a classic false flag operation.
Wait, really? So it's purposely targeting the weakest links to manufacture the maximum amount of outrage?
Precisely. It gives the leadership the exact atrocity they need to justify going to war.
That is so dark. And the battle itself is just pure chaos. Redmayne prays to her goddess to shift back to human form so she can use her sword.
But she gets stuck, right?
Yeah. She gets jammed in this agonizing half-wolf, half-human state. And then Thomas makes this massive sacrifice.
Because of the collar.
Exactly. Thomas is wearing an iron Omega collar. And in this world, iron literally burns fey flesh.
Which he is, underneath the wolf form.
Right. But despite the burning, he leaps onto the shadow's back to save Redmayne. And then she does something so gross but awesome. She bites off one of the creature's nebulous fingers.
Oh, the crunch, yeah.
It's such a great detail. The creature, which says its name is Afagdu, flees into the water.
But not before it cackles about how Lord December is going to kill his own people and break his ancestral oath.
Yeah, it claims, you know, watching old enemies tear themselves apart is such delight.
Yep.
But I have to ask you, is this monster actually invincible?
What do you mean?
Like, is it an immortal god or is it just a parasite? Because it seems like it completely relies on the wolves and fae hating each other just to survive.
That is a great observation.
Yeah. Yes.
The shadow represents the essence of darkness and hunger.
Okay, so it needs them to fight.
Exactly. It cannot win a fair fight. That's why it relies entirely on deception, framing others, and exploiting their pre-existing prejudices.
So if they just talked to each other, the demon would starve.
Bingo. Which is why bringing the proof back to the elders is such a huge turning point.
Right. So Redmayne and Thomas take that severed, ichor-dripping finger straight to the stubborn white wolf elder.
And they just throw it on the floor.
Yeah. And when the elder sniffs it, the finger bubbles and disintegrates into dust. It's undeniable physical proof.
He is literally forced to listen.
And I am just geeking out over the specific fantasy world building here. Because we established that iron burns fae.
Right. And the reciprocal rule is that silver burns wolves.
So to free Thomas from his iron collar, the White Wolf Elder actually has to use fae magic. She cuts her own hand.
Which is such a powerful image.
It really is. She lets her blood drip onto the iron band until these ancient runes glow. And the collar finally snaps off.
The physical act of bleeding to undo the damage they caused. It's beautiful. And that external reconciliation directly parallels Redmayne's internal transformation.
Yes, because Redmayne is still stuck in that half-shifted state alone on the cold stone floor.
She's physically broken.
And she hears this mysterious voice in her head telling her that to complete her shift, she has to accept everything about herself.
This raises an important question about her psychology, honestly.
How so?
Well, she has to accept her anger, her fear of being alone, and her past as a monster. The voice tells her, happiness must come from within. Much in life is how you react to what happens.
That feels like the concept of radical self-acceptance.
Very much so.
Like you cannot put on a new authentic identity if you're simultaneously denying the messy, painful parts of your history.
You can't just compartmentalize the bad stuff.
Exactly. You have to claim the whole package to actually move forward.
And when she does that, she can finally head out to stop the Fae. Which brings us to a whole new set of problems.
Right, the fog of war. Redmayne has this exhausting run through the forest with her guide, Dimitri.
Heading straight for Lord December's military encampment.
And the contrast is huge. The camp is so structured, but she gets totally stonewalled by these arrogant, elven-looking guards.
They just view her as a mere mercenary. They don't want to hear it.
But thankfully, she finds a crucial ally in Sir Bravel. He's this towering, honorable guy, and he actually listens to her tale of the demon.
Which is a relief, because getting to Lord December is the hardest part.
So what does this all mean when she finally confronts him? She's by the fireplace, she tells him everything, and then comes the massive twist.
Yeah, December hands her a letter.
A wrinkled, bloodstained letter from a Captain Grosick. And this letter claims that wolves are eating fae soldiers one by one to crush their souls.
Which is just a horrific image.
And it claims a wolf leader plans to steal December's throne. Redmayne realizes instantly that this is the Shadow Demon's masterwork of misinformation.
It is the ultimate forged intelligence document.
But here's my question. Why on earth did Lord December keep this terrifying letter a total secret instead of just investigating it openly?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it really highlights the brutal reality of political leverage.
Like, he was scared of looking weak.
Exactly. December admits he kept it a secret because if the other houses knew his throne was being threatened, even by a rumor, they'd use it against him.
To, like, demand better trade terms or something?
Yes, exactly. His fear of looking weak politically almost caused him to launch a preemptive genocide.
That is just wild. He was going to start a war over a secret, unverified note just to save face.
Thankfully, Redmayne's insistence wins out. She pushes back hard.
She does. And finally, December agrees to take Sir Bravel and inspect the caves in 1 hour.
Which means he's finally willing to do what the Wolf Elders wouldn't look at the primary source.
Yes. And that just perfectly sets the stage for a climactic convergence at the Underground River next.
It's going to be quite the showdown.
It really is. I mean, just looking back at the journey we summarized today, it's intense. From uncovering forgotten history in the caves
to bleeding for the truth against a shadow demon.
Exactly. and finally piercing the fog of war with Lord December.
That's such a brilliant narrative.
And for you listening, we really want to emphasize that while this is a fantasy role-playing chronicle, the mechanics of conflict here are incredibly real.
Oh, totally. Wars are started by pride, lack of communication, and bad actors exploiting our worst assumptions all the time.
It happens in offices, in politics, everywhere.
It really leaves us with a provocative final thought to mull over.
I think so, too.
In this story, a single forged letter and centuries of unverified rumors nearly destroyed two civilizations.
Yeah.
So in your own life, whether in your workplace, your community, or just your digital news feed, what shadows are feeding off of the unchecked assumptions you've accepted as fact?
That's a great question.
And more importantly, are you willing to do the hard work of walking into the cave to look at the primary source yourself?
Something to really think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, and we'll see you next time.